Well, growing up, my family always had this tradition on Christmas morning. And I know all of us kind of have some traditions, especially around this time of year. And our tradition was essentially this. We would line up at the top of the stairs, all the kids, from youngest to oldest. And I'm the oldest kid. I'm the oldest of five children. And so I was always in the very, very back. And so kids, if you're ever in the very back, I know how you feel. I know where you are. But anyway, you know, the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. That's how we did it in our family. I was always last. But anyway, my dad would go downstairs first, and he would always have the video camera. And when we were really little, you know, kids, those things, they weren't like a little phone. They were big, you know? They were big things, these camcorders. It took a little bit to turn on. And so my dad would run downstairs, and he wanted to see if Santa had showed up at our house. And so he would go into the living room, and he would look down, and he would say, "Oh my goodness, you won't believe it." And we would get so excited because we knew something good was coming, you know? And it was one of those things where we knew what we asked for. We knew what we asked for, but maybe there was a gift. Maybe there was a gift that maybe we didn't think to ask for or hope for. And so we were so excited. And I remember it took my dad, it felt like so long to turn the video camera on. But finally, after a long time, he says, "Come on down the stairs." And so we ran as fast as we could, like a pack of wild dogs knocking each other over almost, in order to get to our Christmas presents to see what we got on Christmas. We wanted to open it up. And the thing that's so fun is we got some great gifts. In fact, I told you a few weeks ago, if you were here, that one of my favorite gifts was a trampoline. But my second favorite gift that we ever got was this 3-in-1 tournament table by Fisher Price. If you were around in the 90s, you know what I'm talking about. It was awesome. In fact, this tournament table was so cool. It featured games like pool and table tennis. And it also had this incredible ability to do air hockey right in the comfort of your room. And so, man, I was so excited. In fact, on Christmas morning, and I don't think I ever told my parents this, but they're about to find it out right now. I went downstairs early that Christmas. I was so excited about this 3-in-1 tournament table. I went downstairs to see what it was, and nobody else was around. It was great. And sure enough, there was that 3-in-1 tournament table, and I couldn't play anything because it would wake everybody up, and I'd have to tell them that, you know, I'd kind of done what I shouldn't have done. Kids don't do that tomorrow. But I went back upstairs, and I remember waking everybody up and saying, "Hey, guys, I think Santa might have come last night." Anyway, it was so much fun, and so many good gifts. And the thing that kind of am thinking about is this is, it's finally Christmas time. And as we think about gifts, there's a whole lot of gifts just like this that people are going to be opening tomorrow, really all over the world. There's a whole lot of gifts that are going to be given. So a whole lot of gifts are going to be unwrapped. And so let me ask you a question that you probably are tired of answering. What do you want for Christmas this year? What do you want for Christmas this year? You know, a car and a puppy, all those things, right? And maybe let me ask you a different way. What are you hoping to receive this Christmas? What are you hoping to receive? That's a little bit different question. You know, when I was little, it was so easy. Like, we wanted a puppy and a dog and a princess castle. I mean, that's for my sister, you know? We wanted all these different things. But when you get older, you start to realize that, man, what I really hope to receive is not something you can buy at a store. And so it's kind of hard to come up with a Christmas list. And so it got me kind of wondering, with all the gifts that are going to be open this Christmas, all the gifts we're hoping to receive, it got me wondering, I wonder what Jesus would want to give every single one of us this Christmas. I mean, if he could give us some gifts, what would that be? I mean, I know it's Christmas is his birthday, right? And we should be giving Jesus a gift, but Jesus has always been the generous one, right? He keeps giving and giving and giving. And so what would be a couple of gifts that Jesus would want to make sure that on this Christmas we don't miss, that we receive? That's what I want to talk with you about tonight. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2 on your smartphone as well. You can do that. We do that here at the Fountain. It's okay. And also, if you don't have a Bible, we offer free Bibles on our guest services table outside. So you can pick one up as you leave. You're not stealing from church. We just love for you to have it. But Luke chapter 2 is the heart of the Christmas story. It's the one that you hear so many times over and over. And we're going to start in verse 1. And here's how the story begins. It says this: "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. And this is kind of interesting. We'll just kind of stop there because it's so funny that the Christmas story doesn't start out like a fairy tale. How do fairy tales start out? It starts out like once upon a time, right? And you notice it also doesn't start out like long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. Some of you know what I'm talking about, been going to see the Star Wars movie and stuff like that. It doesn't start out like that. And here's the thing. The gospel writer Luke is communicating this, and he's talking about a specific time, a specific place, and specific people. And it's one of those things. He's trying to communicate to us this isn't some fantasy story. This is a historical story. And it's a story of how God worked in real time, in real space, and in how God stepped into real people's lives. But also, I believe it's a story of how God wants to enter into your life, how he wants to step into your life. And so here's how the story continues. Verse 4, it says this. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and they gave birth to their firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. And it's interesting because this is such a great story. And it later says that there was absolutely no room for him in the inn. There was no room for him when he arrived. But isn't this such a great story? I mean, we tell this story, and it's such a cool story about how God came into the world at Christmas. And we think about all this, and it's so easy to get wrapped up in all the details of Christmas, all the wrapping paper, if you will, of Christmas, and kind of miss the point of what the gift of Christmas is really all about. Because we soon find out that the Christmas story is so much more than some kind of cute nativity scene that you can purchase at Walmart. Now, this is probably not a Walmart brand, but you know what I mean. It's so much more than a cute story. I mean, so many nativity scenes are so funny to me because, you know, you've got the cute couple. You got Mary and Joseph, you know, Joseph a little far away from his bride. You've got the baby who is never crying in the nativity scene. I don't know about you, if you've ever, wives, husbands, if you've ever been a part of delivery, there's crying involved. There was some hay that they laid him on, but it's always depicted as this cozy scene, right? I mean, there's the animals that are really smelly. They're looking in. The shepherds that are poor, they're all looking in. Everybody's looking in unison. And if you have dogs or pets, if you have kids, you know that's not accurate. I mean, it's one of those things. There's also these rich guys called kings or magicians, the wise men we sometimes call them, who brought gifts to Jesus. But all of that in the Christmas story, all of that's just the wrapping paper of Christmas. Because the true gift of Christmas is really God wants you to experience Jesus. In fact, when you get a gift, what's so important about a gift is not the quality of the wrapping, right? It has nothing to do with the container it's in. The true measure of a gift is the contents inside the container. And this is what Jesus doesn't want you and me to miss. But I want you to notice that on the first Christmas, that Mary was actually the one who started this tradition of wrapping Christmas gifts. Did you see that? Let's go back to verse 7. Here's what it says. It says, she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. She started this tradition of wrapping Christmas gifts. And of course, the gift was Jesus. You know, my mom actually teaches preschool music. And man, there are some funny stories that come home and that I hear about when it comes to preschoolers and what they say. But she's often teaching her, they're singing Christmas carols and stuff like that. And she starts telling them about the meaning of Christmas. And she'll say usually something like this. You know, Jesus grew up. You know, he didn't stay a baby. And she starts to talk with him about, we're not celebrating some cute baby, but we're celebrating how God has come into the world for us. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's Jesus was born in a manger. And when he was, it was the entry point of God coming into the world. But Jesus grew up and he lived a perfect life and he showed us what love is. But then we know finally about 30 something years later, he died on an old rugged cross. He stretched out his arms to show us how much he loved us. But the story didn't end there. Just like Jesus didn't stay a baby, he didn't stay dead. After 3 days, he rose from the grave. And because of that, now he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And now we all have access to have a relationship with him forever. And so Mary actually, as Mary wrapped baby Jesus in strips of cloth on Christmas, she didn't do it just to keep him safe. She didn't do it just to keep him warm and away from the dangers of the world. Because Mary wrapped this perfect gift to offer Jesus to our broken and pain-filled world so that we all could be made whole. And so here's the first thing that I don't think Jesus wants you to miss. The first gift, if you will, that God wants to give you on Christmas. And it's this. Jesus' presence means that God is with you. Jesus' presence means that God is with you. In fact, check out what it says, Matthew chapter 1. Here's the other part of the story. It says this: all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, talking about the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, let's say this together, God with us. God with us. God with skin on. In fact, when we talk about hope, you know, hope is one of those things that's hard to get your hands on, isn't it? Hope is one of those things where there's a lot of things that in a room like this, there's probably a lot of things that we're hoping for, not just for Christmas, but for our lives. Maybe for some of you, you're hoping for some kind of healing. Maybe it's physical or emotional or spiritual, some kind of healing. Maybe you're hoping for some kind of peace in your life. Maybe you're hoping for some kind of purpose that's bigger than the purpose you're living. Or maybe that next step, that open door. Maybe you're hoping for a lot of different things. But hope is kind of that, it's that feeling of expectation and the desire for something to happen. But it's usually talking about something you haven't yet received. Something in the future. But the good news for us is this. In Jesus Christ, our hope isn't something we have to wait longer for. Our hope has been realized. We have our hope. And so Mary didn't wait either. Mary got to hold the hope of the world in her hands. She got to rock him and then she got to give him back and offer him to the world. And so I want you to think about this. This is crazy. Let's take Jesus away from the baby for a minute and just think about what God did. All the power that raised Jesus from the grave, all the power that created the heavens and the earth. And it means that all the love of God that reaches out to everyone who's lost and all the fullness of the glory of God was squeezed into the body of a tiny infant that you could hold into your hands. And it must have pained God in order to be humbled like that. And as he laid in a smelly manger, he was offered to the world for us. But here's why this is important. Inside of every single one of you is this God-wired desire. There's this God-wired desire or hope, if you will, for a connection with God. And we're all kind of down here and we're doing life. But what we really hope for is that God would connect with us and would somehow intersect our lives and transform us from the inside out. And every major religion of the world tries to give an answer to this. Every major religion in the world tries to answer this very question. How can people have a connection with God? And so what happens is God is up here. God is holy and mighty and God is big and so much different than us. And here we are and we're not like God and we can't connect with God. And so every major religion tries to essentially answer this question. And they give answers like this. In some kind of way, you've got to be good enough. You got to earn it. Get out your scorecard and you got to prove and earn your way to God, either by religious duty or you got to be a good enough person. Maybe you've heard before. Maybe if you do more good things and bad things, it'll all even out. Or maybe in some kind of way, just follow all the rules of religion. But either way, it's all about in some way you have to kind of climb the ladder of faith in order to reach up to God. And hopefully one day you'll get there. You'll be there. But on Christmas, I want you to know that God did the absolute unthinkable. This time, God didn't send another messenger or a prophet. God didn't sit back and deliver just some more commands and legalistic hoops that all of us had to jump through. God didn't just perform another miracle from the comfort of heaven. This time, God, with the greatest gift in his hands, God stepped down on Christmas from his throne in heaven. And he stepped all the way down in order to be with you and me. And when he came, he didn't come with just gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh and just hope and love and things that you can't touch. He came to give us the very best he had, himself, all the way down from heaven. No more do you have to reach up to me. I want to offer myself to you. That's what Christmas is all about. And so the thing I think that Jesus would want us to know and Jesus would want us to remember and maybe what he would want to say to you is this: no matter what you face right now, No matter what you're going through, you're not alone because God is with you. God's with you. In fact, some of you might be going through some very difficult things this Christmas. I mean, maybe there's some circumstances you're facing. Maybe some kind of real hurt. Maybe there's some kind of fear that you're going through. Maybe for some of you, you're dealing with an empty seat this Christmas. It's always been filled, but not there anymore. And it's a difficult thing. And Christmas sometimes brings out crazy emotions like that. Maybe you're going through difficult financial time, especially around Christmas. Or maybe relational strife in some kind of way. Or maybe you're struggling with loneliness. And I think God would want you to know this, is that Jesus knows what you're going through because he's been there before. He's been there. He's felt it. And so when you feel overwhelmed and trying to carry the weight of your life, trying to carry the weight of everything all by yourself, Jesus wants you to know that you can come to me. You don't have to do it alone, that Jesus wants to be your helper. Put the burdens on his shoulder and allow him to carry it with you. He's with you. He's your God with you. In fact, I love how the Message paraphrases this in John chapter 1. Check out this. I love this. Here's what it says. It says this: the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. You want to know the measure of somebody's love? The measure of somebody's love can be seen at the level that they're willing to sacrifice for you. And so when we look at this, God could have just gone from heaven to a palace, and that would have been amazing enough, wouldn't it? I mean, but instead, God on Christmas went from the throne room in heaven in order to come to a dirty manger in a stable in order to be with you. I mean, he essentially moved into our neighborhood. Now, some of you, you're like, I don't know about the neighbors, you know, but Jesus essentially moved into our neighborhood, God himself, into our messy lives in order to make it clear that there's no distance he won't travel. There's no pain he won't endure. There's no sacrifice that he won't go through in order to be with you. This is the hope of Christmas, that God is with you. We're going to finish up the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. And instead of me just reading it to you, Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 8 through 14. One of my favorite Christmas movies is, of course, Charlie Brown Christmas. And I thought maybe we would listen to the great theologian Linus on as he reads the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Check it out.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. That's what Christmas is all about for all of us, because the reality is that when the second gift, Christmas is more than just God is with you. The second gift that I think God doesn't want you to miss, that Jesus wants to offer you this Christmas, is this. Jesus has offered you the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. Did you notice it said, a Savior has been born to you? I think it's fascinating that God knows us. He's wired us. And if our greatest need was in some way to have more knowledge, God would have sent us an amazing professor, an amazing educator. If our greatest need were to be more money, then God would have sent us this amazing investor, maybe the guy from The Prophet, somebody to just invest in us and to give us what we need. If our greatest need would have been pleasure, then God would have sent us to design the coolest amusement park and would have sent us to the greatest entertainer. But instead, As the God, the Father, and God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, as the Trinity of God is having a conversation in heaven, you almost see them whispering to themselves and saying, look, look, look. As they look down to heaven, these people, they can't make it here by themselves. I mean, they don't even have a hope of earning it unless somebody comes down. Unless we come down and reach out to them and pull them there to do from them what they can't do for themselves. And so on Christmas, God sent us what we needed, a Savior, in order to rescue us from the dilemma that all of us are in, being disconnected from God and disconnected from the life God wants us to have. And so Christmas isn't just a story about a cradle. It's a story that travels all the way to the foot of the cross. See, it's one of those things where Jesus Christ purchased for us our salvation. And so here's what I think God would want you to know. Not only that God is with you, but that no matter where you've been in your life, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you may feel from God right now, that Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to come and to live among us. And finally, on a cross, was willing to stretch out his arms so wide in order to say to you and to me, I love you this much. That's what Christmas is all about. It travels all the way to the cross. And that's the free gift that's offered for you. And so on this Christmas, I want you to know that God is with you and that a Savior has been born to you. But in order for you to receive that hope, you can't be like the innkeeper who didn't have any room. You know, you've got to make room for Jesus in your life. And so I want to ask you a question. Maybe you've known Jesus for a long time, but how can you make room for Jesus this Christmas? I'm not talking about in your plans. I'm talking about in your heart. Or maybe some of you have maybe never responded to Jesus and his grace. And maybe today would be a great day to do that. In fact, tonight we're going to pray in just a minute. And maybe you can do that to enter into a relationship with Jesus. But we're going to also celebrate the hope of Jesus a little bit more. We're going to sing a couple carols that some of my favorites. We're going to light some candles. But I want to invite the ushers to come down at this time. Those who are helping with candles. And as you're doing that, let me just tell you why we do this. We light candles on Christmas. We light candles on Christmas because Jesus is the hope of the world. He's the light of the world. But we also, one of the things you're going to notice, as we introduce light into a relatively dark place, a dark space, that even the smallest glimmer of Christ's light can bring hope. Even the smallest glimmer of Christ's light can bring hope. And so as we burn our candles collectively, the light's going to fill the room. And as you see this, as you look around, I hope it'll be a reminder to you that there is enough collective hope in this room, hope in Jesus, in order to shine a beacon of light for our community, to show people that Jesus is the hope of the world. So Merry Christmas, church. Let me pray for you. God, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you that you are the greatest King. God, we thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, we also thank you that you're with us, that no matter what we go through, no matter where we are, that you're with us. God, I want to thank you that we don't have to earn our way to you, that you came, Jesus, to purchase for us our salvation. And so, God, I pray that maybe there's somebody in here who hasn't received your grace today. Maybe they haven't received your grace and said yes to that. And Jesus, I pray that today would be the day that they say yes. And if that's you today, maybe you would pray in your seat something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I need you. Lord, I know that you are the hope of the world. And you came and you not only came on Christmas, but you came and you died on the cross and you rose from the grave so that I could have new life. And so today, Jesus, I want to say yes to that hope. I want to know the reality in my life that God, you are with me no matter what. God, I pray that today that I would be able to turn my life over to you, and Jesus, today would be my salvation day. But God, as all of us today, as we light our candles, we pray that they would burn brightly. We pray that that your hope would fill the room and fill our lives. And as we lift our lights high, we pray that we as a church would be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope for this community, that we would be a church and a people who would lead people to the hope that's found in Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.